Robinhood Radio presents Agriculture from Turkana Farms. Here's Peter Davies.
Most people, when they think of Valentine's Day, think of red roses, corny cards with red hearts, and red heart-shaped boxes of chocolates. But not if you live on a farm. No bogus romance here. Although St. Valentine's Day has its roots in Roman times, the current associations with Valentine's Day largely derive from the 19th and 20th centuries, during which increasingly the commercial aims of selling cards, flowers, and chocolates have totally overwhelmed and transformed what was once the innocent declaration of love into a crass shopping event. The quaint, chivalric, romantic profession of love to one's beloved, characteristic of the days of Chaucer and Shakespeare, has metamorphosed into something quite unrecognizable. But, fortunately, the meaning of holidays is not static, not frozen in time. While we here still recall the origins of Valentine's Day and the martyrdom of two, possibly three, early Christian priests named Valentine nearly 2,000 years ago, who since seem to have been fused into one, while we can still appreciate the beauty and poetry of the Renaissance observance, and while we continue to steadfastly resist the current commercial character of the event, our thoughts these days, a sign of entering our so-called golden years, are more on what happened here at Turkana Farms one Valentine's Day 10 years ago, an event that more probably defines the day for us now. On that day, dressed in my usual farm finery, I was conducting one of my garrulous tours of the farm to a seemingly interested group of visitors. When I paused behind the barn to show them our flock of caracal sheep grazing in the old sawmill pasture, something out in the middle of the pasture caught my eye, something gray, streaked with red. I hurried out to the middle of the pasture and kneeled down to a strange-looking package, but not the kind of package one usually expects to open on St. Valentine's Day. It was streaked in blood and body fluids. A torn placenta with a tiny lamb still inside. I carefully eased a limp little ginger lamb from the placenta and brushed the birthing fluids from its nose and mouth. As it began to breathe and bleat, I looked around quickly for the mother so that the bonding could begin, but she was nowhere to be seen. So I cradled the lamb in my arms up against my body to protect it from the cold wind and quickly walked to where the flock was huddled in the lee of the barn and put it down on the grass in front of them and backed off to see who, hopefully, would claim it. After a long pause, finally one of them did, a very young ewe, for whom birth was obviously a first, hesitantly stepped forth and waited. Apparently, she had panicked at the strange sensations of birthing and the appearance of the gory placenta-wrapped thing that had dropped from her body and run away. But seeing her lamb on the ground and smelling its odor, she sensed that it was hers, causing all of her instincts to kick in, and she began avidly licking off the birthing fluids, all the while making the low rumbling sound ewes make to their young. She had bonded, and I could return to my farm visitors who had gotten more of a view of farm life than they had bargained for. The lamb Mark and I christened Valentina in honor of her birthing day. She grew into a large but not terribly beautiful young ewe and had apparently bonded in some way with me. Apparently, newly born creatures usually bond with the first being that they see, and that was me. How else to explain her unusually friendly, fearless manner ever after? She was not beautiful because she virtually had no ears, an all too common characteristic of the lambs born that year, evidently the result of a gene introduced by our then current ram. we determined that this was not the look we wanted in our flock. And so, in an act of selective breeding, decided, as they approached their first year, to send off to market all of the yearlings that did not meet our criteria, which favored sheep that would have black heads and legs and long, dangling ears, the look of the classic caracal. I felt some remorse that Valentina was in the offending category, but overcame my emotional bond as I thought of the future of the flock and reluctantly rounded her up with the other offenders. But as I examined her more closely, I realized that she was pregnant, and with some relief, I determined that she would stay. And so she has, with many more pregnancies since, and is possibly pregnant again, though if this is the case, at her advanced age, it could well be her last. So far, though, she has turned out to be the Valentine's Day gift that has kept on giving.
Peter Davies and his partner Mark Scherzer are proprietors of Tricana Farms, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Peter also presides over Tricana Odyssey, in which he customizes cultural tours of turkey for small groups, which he calls an insider's view of turkey. And his third hat is Tricana Gallery of Old and Antique Killams, which he operates in the Wall Street area of Manhattan. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. Their farm website? TurkanaFarms.com. Their email? farm@TurkanaFarms.com or 518-537-3815.